Would you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. All faith is the same. Like precious faith, the gift of God's grace, which every believer obtains, has given unto him through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Partakers of the divine nature. Now that word partaker means having in common. Having in common. Having in common with God the divine nature. That sounds scary, doesn't it? That sounds scary. And we wouldn't say that. Wouldn't even think it unless it said this in this word. Partakers of the divine nature. Not merely believers in the divine nature or admirers of the divine nature, but partakers, sharers, having in common the divine nature. When God saves someone, they are born of God, born of his Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. To as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. This is called a new creation. The hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. The inward man, the mind of Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory, partakers of the divine nature. If God has done something for me, I am a partaker of the divine nature. Now, this is not the old nature changed, improved, or even influenced, but a new divine nature that was not there before. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The old nature is still there. It has not been eradicated. It does not become better. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, And it will never be any better than that, and it cannot rise above that. But thank God, the new nature is stronger than the old, because it's the nature of God. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Now, here's my question. How can I know if I have this new nature? This is mysterious, isn't it? How can I personally know if I actually am a partaker of the divine nature? It's one thing to say, I think I have it because I fear the consequences of not having it. But it's another thing to see from the scriptures what it is and see that I do possess this new nature. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if the Lord blesses this message to our hearts, we can leave here knowing whether or not we are partakers of the divine nature. Wouldn't that be something? If I can leave here knowing that I am a partaker of the divine nature. Now, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8? Beginning in verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand. I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, being taken by the hand has nothing to do with the new nature, does it? I can take a 2-year-old by the hand, and I can make them go anywhere I want them to go. I've heard people say about their children, I can't do anything with them. I can. I can make them do what I want them to do. I'm stronger than them, and I can make them do what if it's a wild animal, as long as it can't, you know, hurt me, if it's small enough and I can handle it. If it's a wild animal, I can make it do what I'll make it go where I want it to go. I can take it by the hand and I can lead it anywhere. I can take a 2-year-old by the hand and make sure they do what I want them to do. But does that have anything to do with the heart? Has absolutely nothing to do with the heart. God says they continued not, so I regarded them not. If the Lord simply takes me by the hand, what happens if he lets me go? I will fall away. Not maybe. I will fall away. That's for sure. If all he does is take me by the hand, it will do me no good. If he took me all the way up into heaven and didn't give me a new heart, a new nature, if all he did was take me by the hand, I'd be miserable up there and I'd want out. I wouldn't even want to be there, and I would fall away. Taking by the hand does not work. Now he says in verse 10, For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. Now, this is the new covenant. I'll put my laws into their minds, and I'll write them in their hearts. And let me say this. I used to fear, greatly fear, believing in my head what I didn't believe in my heart. I'm sure all of us have had that fear. But let me say this. Anything you really believe in your head, if you really believe it in your heart. You can't separate the mind and the heart. If you really believe that you're totally, I don't mean you just give assent to the doctrine of total depravity, but if you really believe you're totally depraved, God's taught you that. And you need God to elect you. You need Christ to die for you. You need God the Holy Spirit to invincibly and irresistibly bring you to Himself and give you a new nature. You need what you believe in your mind. If you really believe it, you believe in your heart too, and you rejoice in it, don't you? He says, I'll put my laws into their minds, and I'll write them in their hearts. God put something there that was not there before in the minds, in the dispositions. And what He puts in the mind, He writes in the heart. He writes, as it were, a new DNA. Now, I want you to think about this. You have in your cells a DNA that was passed on to you from your parents. And it causes you to be the way you are. I love to watch somebody, they act just like their dad. How come? What's in their dad? That's why. And his DNA has been passed on to them. Now, God says, I'll put my laws, plural, within your minds. I'll write them in your minds and I'll put them in your hearts, your understanding, your will, and your affections so that it controls your nature. A new nature. Partakers of the divine nature. I'll put my laws in their hearts. I'll write them in their minds so that they'll be partakers of the divine nature. Now, what does he mean when he's talking about he's going to write his laws in their minds and put them in their hearts? What's meant by that? Is he talking about the moral law of God? Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 2 for a moment. Hold your finger there in Hebrews chapter 10 and turn to Romans chapter 2. Verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they have no copy of the Bible. They never heard the Ten Commandments. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. That's a natural man. Got the work of the law written in their hearts. You know, preachers like to say, well, we need to teach people how to live. People already know how to live. You're born that way. You know it's wrong to commit adultery. Everybody in here knows that. You know it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to murder. You know all these things. We're born with God's law written in our hearts. We're born with that. Now, it's true that some people can become so hardened and desensitized that it doesn't seem like sin bothers them. I realize that. But still, everybody born into this world is born with God's law written in their hearts, and they know the difference between right and wrong in that sense. They're born with that. And here's what the law does, verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and here's what happens, their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Here's all it does. You got a guilty conscience accusing you, or you're trying to vindicate and justify yourself and make excuses. That's all God's law does for anybody. But everybody's born with the work of God's law written in their heart in that sense. Now, the word law or laws in the New Testament doesn't always refer to the written law of God, does it? Remember when Paul said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death? Now, that's not a reference to the Ten Commandments. What about, by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith, Paul said in Romans 3:27. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, a law of nature, if I've been given a new nature, a law of nature is that which must be obeyed. You know, you just obey your nature. That's what we do. We act according to our nature. and you don't choose to not obey your nature. If you fall off a building, you don't say, well, I'm going to choose for the law of gravity not be in effect right now. No, you're going to hit the ground. A cow doesn't choose to eat grass. Well, I think I'm going to have grass today. No, it's his nature. A pig doesn't make a choice to, I'm going to get in the mire today. No, it's his nature. It's his nature to do that. A cat, it's its nature to want to be clean. Your nature is what you follow. That's partakers of the divine nature. Choice really is not involved. It's natural. You act according to your nature. Now somebody thinks, well, that doesn't sound right. I mean, it seems like we'd be better if we were doing things because we're choosing to rather than just acting according to our nature. You know, Satan used that argument with Eve. He surely did. You're just obeying your nature. There's no moral virtue in your obedience. But here's what you need to do. If you eat this fruit, you're going to know the difference between good and evil, and you're going to choose the good over the evil. You're going to have a free will, and that's what will make you like God. Same argument. Now, there's something very significant with the fact that the word laws is in the plural. Sometimes laws refers to the Mosaic law or the Pentateuch, but here the word refers to the laws of the new nature. When God says, I'll write my laws in their hearts and place them in their minds. Now, has God written in my heart? That's what I want to know. Has God placed his laws in my heart and in my mind? Now, in the New Testament, we read of six laws that comprise the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And you can know, and I can know, whether or not we have this new nature, whether we've actually been made partakers of the divine nature. We read of the law of righteousness. We read of the law of sin. We read of the law of faith. We read of the law of love. We read of the law of liberty. And we read of the law of Christ. And these are the laws of the new nature. You obey your nature. Now let's consider these. I hope this will make sense. First, in Romans 9, 30 and 31, we read of the law of righteousness. The law of righteousness. Now, the law of righteousness, here's what this is. A believer cannot be satisfied with anything short of perfect righteousness before God's holy law. I can't get any satisfaction. I can't get any comfort. I can't get any rest. I can't get any peace from anything short of a perfect righteousness before God's holy law. Now, we know that God is righteous. He doesn't choose to be righteous. He is righteous. That's his nature. To imply that he chooses to be righteous would imply that he could choose to be something else. And that would take away from his immutability. That'd take away from his... I mean, there's just all kinds of problems with that. Obviously, God is righteous. It's his nature to be righteous. And a believer can only be satisfied with that which God is satisfied with, a perfect righteousness before God's holy law. And the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Paul said in Romans 1, 16 and 17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. Now, here's what I'm satisfied with. Here's what a believer's satisfied with. The great, glorious truth in the scripture of justification. A perfect righteousness before God's holy law. You said it last night. Just as if I never sinned, won't get it. He won't get it because it's just as if I never sinned. That means I really sinned. No, I never sinned. And that is what the justifying work of Christ. I never sinned. My sin became His sin. That means it's no longer mine. It became His. And His righteousness is mine.
Amen.
And I stand before God perfectly righteous. Not just as if I never sinned. I never sinned. And you know, that's the only thing I find any peace in. That's the only finite thing I can find any comfort in. The perfect justifying work of Christ on the cross. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Now that's what a believer finds comfort in, the justifying work. There's a law. I can't be satisfied with anything else. That's my nature. I cannot be satisfied with anything but a perfect righteousness before God's holy law. And I have it. Every believer has it in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now secondly, turn to Romans 7. Now first, if I've been given this new nature, I cannot be satisfied with anything short of the righteousness of God. My righteousness, the righteousness of God. Now look here in Romans 7. Paul says in verse 23, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The law of sin. Now remember, when God gives someone the new nature, and they're made partakers of the divine nature, they still have the old nature. But it takes the new nature to see the old nature. If you only have one nature, two natures makes no sense to you. But if you have two natures, you know you have two natures. And you know something about this law of sin. Now, it's the new nature that sees and owns the sins of the old nature. Now, do I understand that? No. Don't need to. Don't need to. I believe. But at no time can I say in my experience, even though I have this new nature, this holy nature, partakers of the divine nature, at no time can I say in my experience, I'm without sin. As a matter of fact, look what Paul says in Romans 17, beginning in verse 14. Or Romans 7, beginning in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold, enslaved, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it's no more I that doeth it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I would be without sin. I would be perfectly conformed to the image of Christ and never sin again. I would be perfectly obedient. To will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good? What's he say? I find not. He doesn't say sometimes I mess up. He says, sometimes I fail. He says, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, it's no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now I feel sinful all the time. And you know why? Because I am sinful all the time. Because I always have this old nature. Proverbs 24:16 says, a just man falleth seven times. Why seven? Why not six? Why not five? Why not eight? Why not nine? What's seven? Means all the time. All the time. A just man falleth all the time, seven times, but riseth again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now I realize that some will use this doctrine to excuse or even justify their sin. God forbid that any of us do that. But it's still true. My sin is ever before me. Someone that doesn't experience that only has one nature. Let me show you a passage of scripture in 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin. Now there the word sin is a noun. What it's talking about is a sinful nature at all times. If we say we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We've lost all credibility. We're liars. If we confess our sins, verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, and there the word's a verb, regarding anything I do, I don't care what it is. If I say, well, I didn't sin there, I'm telling a lie. I'm not being honest, because if I did it, it's sin. Now that's the experience of the believer. We have a new nature, a holy nature, that can't be satisfied with anything short of perfect righteousness, the righteousness of God. And in our experience, all we see in ourselves is sin. Now, it takes a new nature to see that. You see that about yourself? The law of sin. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Partakers of the divine nature. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. The law of faith. The new nature. Now listen to me. The new nature cannot not believe. Can't do it. Can't do it. I know that man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The old nature never believes. The new nature always does. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Try to not believe. Try to not believe the Bible is the Word of God. If you're a believer, you know this book is the inspired Word of God. It isn't because you figured it out. It isn't because you weighed the evidences and came up with the conclusion, yeah, it must be, the prophecies are true and all that kind of, I believe it. No, you believe it because it is. That's why you believe the truth. You believe the truth because it's true. You don't believe the truth because you choose to. You believe it because it's the truth. That's the new. Try to believe that Jesus Christ is not enough to make you perfect before God. Try to add something to Him. You can't do it, can you? You won't do it. You can't do it. Try to believe that He doesn't have the ability to save you. It's impossible. You know that leper, he said, Lord, he didn't have any doubt about His ability. He wasn't all that sure about His willingness, but he was sure about His ability. Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. It's the law of faith. You see it, you believe. You believe. If you're, what do believers do? They believe. They rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I can remember trying to believe. Did you ever try to believe? I try to believe. I do my, well, what's it mean to believe? I want to believe. I tried to believe. I tried hard to believe. One day I found myself believing. One time I found myself trusting. It's when God gave me a heart to believe. Now, don't anybody take this and say, well, I need to wait for God to give me a new heart to believe. No, you're commanded to believe. You're commanded to believe. You're commanded to believe right now. Well, what if I'm not elect? You don't need to worry about that. You're commanded to believe the gospel. It's a command. It's what believers do. They believe. The law of faith. You see, if you have a new nature, you got this in you. God will not be satisfied with anything less than perfect righteousness. Neither will you. If you got a new nature, you see what that old nature is. Not before you have this new nature. I mean, it doesn't make sense to you. But when you have this new nature, you see that the old nature is nothing but sin. You find a law that when you would do good, evil is present with you. And if you have this law of faith, you believe. You believe. You can't not believe. Not the new man. And then in James chapter 2, verse 8, we read of the royal law of love. The royal law of love. Everyone, John said, that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It's the nature of a believer to love God. I love Him as He is. I love Him as He's revealed in His Word. I love all of His attributes. I love His sovereignty because I love Him. I love His power because I love Him. I love His holiness because I love Him. Every attribute of God we love. We wouldn't change Him if it were in our power to. We love Him just the way He is, as He's revealed in this Word. Oh, we love His Son. We love His Spirit. We love His Word. We love His worship. We love His people. We love our enemies. We love our enemies. If we have a new nature, we love. He that's born of God loveth. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I've been given a new nature that actually loves. And it's just it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Love. It's the nature of a believer. And then we read, you can write these down, look them up in your leisure. We read in James 1:25 and James 2:12 of the law of liberty. The law of liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, what is liberty? What's freedom? It's freedom. Okay, what is freedom? Well, two things that I think of being involved in freedom. Number one, I can't owe anything. If I'm in debt, I'm not free. What a burden it is to have debt. What a liberating thing it is when you pay off a debt. I can still remember the first time I paid off my first debt. I felt like I was so free. I'd bought a 1967 Mustang for $600. And I owed $67 a month at the bank. And I remember that was a horrible burden to me. And I remember when I finally made that last payment, oh, I was so free. If I owe anything, I have no freedom. Stand fast in the liberty. The Amen. Freedom wherewith Christ hath made Amen. Us free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I owe nothing.
Amen. Amen.
It's liberty. Liberty. I don't know. Free. Oh, the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. When you're free, that means you get to do what you want to do. You can't handle bondage. You can't handle being made to do. You do what you want to do. And there is in every believer. This is a must. This is in their nature. This is in their spiritual DNA. They must have freedom. They must be without debt. And they must do what they want to do. That's their nature. Oh, the law of liberty. Thy people shall be willing volunteers doing what they want to do in the day of thy power. I want to believe on Christ. I want to bow the knee to Him. I want to bow at His feet. I want to serve Him. I want to have Him as my all in all. That's the desire of every believer. They've been given a new nature. Partakers of the divine nature. Galatians 6. Paul says, Brethren. Isn't that a precious word? Brethren. Brethren in Christ. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, can't you understand how that can happen to you? How easily you can be overtaken. I can be overtaken, overcome, just fall before some fault, some sin. That's what that's talking about. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Can you look down at somebody for that happening to them? Can you sit in judgment on that person and think, it wouldn't have happened to me if they would have just resisted that temptation? No. What's he say? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What will happen to you if you're tempted? You'll fall. Our Lord taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Because I know if I'm tempted, I know what's going to happen. So, Lord, don't let me be tempted. Don't let me be tempted. Put a hedge about me. Don't let it happen. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. Lest you also be tempted. No, you'll fall just as bad as that brother if you're put in the same position. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now that doesn't mean, I want to tell you what my burden is. It doesn't mean that. Your brother's sin is a burden to him. It's a burden. And your sin is a terrible burden. Burden to you. Bear ye one another's burdens. Put up with one another. Don't cut each other off. No, love beareth all things. Love covers with silence all things. Have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now here's Christ's law, right here. It's what it says, isn't it? So fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Partakers of the divine nature. If I'm a partaker of the divine nature, if God has given me the new birth, He's made it to where I can't be satisfied with anything but perfect righteousness before His law. And the only way I have that's in the gospel. He's made it where I've got this law of sin working in my members. And I'm not excusing sin in any way, but He's made it to where I don't have anywhere to look but Christ. At no time can I have any hope but in Christ alone because of this law of sin in my members. And He's given me this law of faith. I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe. I am relying on the Lord Jesus Christ right now as my righteousness before God. I'm completely dependent upon Him. If He doesn't do it all, there's no hope for me. I've got the law of faith and the royal law of love. I love God as He's revealed in His Word. I love His Word. I love His gospel. I love His Son. I love His way of saving by sovereign grace. I love everything. I love His people. I love His worship. And the royal law of love. And the law of liberty. Every believer must have liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. And the law of Christ, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The laws of the new nature.
Amen. Thank you, God.